and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Well, it wasn't what Canada was hoping for in their first match of this World Cup, but still historic nonetheless.
Kone driving forward, played through towards Kyle Lowry!
Yeah, that was Kyle Larin tying it up, and with a 1-1 draw, and it is a final 1-1 draw, it's the first ever point Canada has registered at a World Cup. They lost three in 86, they lost all three in Qatar, but now a draw. The first ever point for Canada, and they'll look for that elusive first victory.
Something to build on, Jamie.
Against Qatar next Thursday. But now we're going to talk about Drew Remenda's second favorite sport, hockey.
Now, here's the long and the short of it. I hate hockey and I don't like kids.
It's time to drop the gloves.
We're losing!
More guys, more teams.
They're burying us alive!
But hey, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Now, the first, of course, being pickleball, by the way. If you just
loves pickleball.
Loves the pickleball.
Click, 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 click.
Have you tried it yet, Drew?
God, no.
Oh, your knees. Never mind. That's a bad idea.
No, my knees are fine. I run every day. I work out every day, and my knees are fine. But what am I, 80? Come on.
Listen, every time I play pickleball, the guy across from me has at least got 10, 15 years on me and waxes me.
Makes real. Well, that might be a genetic thing right there, big boy. Might be athletic person. Never mind. We won't get into that.
Okay, Drew, let's get into last night's hockey game for the Carolina Hurricanes. It was the only game so far in this series that you had one team for the big, strong majority of it own that hockey game. What was Carolina doing so well, so consistently last night for that 4-2 win?
They were all moving the same time. It was kind of a reversal of fortune to start, a flip of the script, if you will, because Vegas finally had a good start, had a really good start. Outshot, outchanced, fantastic job to start the game, and they've been wanting to do that. Bussy played very well to start things off. But after that, Carolina just, everybody, they were so physical. You and I text each other. It was the most physical game of the final, one of the most physical games in the playoffs. And it was hard checking, and they were checking. They were pressuring. Yeah. Look at the second goal. They get in. Jarvis gets in. Martinez gets in. He gets inside position on Theodore. He gets around the net, and then he gains control right away. He starts to walk it out towards the net. Everybody from Vegas, who, by the way, their defensive zone coverage is, they're just scrambling right now. They just want to put so much pressure on, but they're not doing it very, very smartly. Bang, goes in the net. That really changed everything. The funny thing, too, in that game was that guys who had been desperate to score, guys that both teams need to score if they want to have a chance to win, they scored. Svechnikov got two. Svechnikov going into that game said it was the most important game of his life. Aho finally got one, and Dorofeev finally got a couple. But here's the thing I didn't know until last night. Jack Eichel has never scored a goal in the Stanley Cup final. And it's his second... attempt at that,
That's interesting too. I'm curious about Carter Hart and the goaltending in this series. Well, here's the thing. I mean, Torts is being Torts last night, and it's actually even more ridiculous for him to dismiss that question just based on what's happening right now with his goalie. But it's the Carolina Hurricanes, who are not known as an offensive juggernaut. They've got 20 goals in five games on this kid, and this is not expected at all, especially from this team. I'm wondering, like, what would you do? Would you put Aiden Hill in for that, like, a deciding game on Sunday?
No, I wouldn't. Yeah. The reason I wouldn't do it, I love Aiden. Aiden was with San Jose Sharks for a season. And then he went on to greatness, winning a Stanley Cup. And I wouldn't play him for the simple fact that he hasn't played in a while. But there's another fact about that. Back in 2014, Todd McClellan's coaching the San Jose Sharks, start their up 3-0 in the series against the LA Kings, looking like everything's fine. And then we go back to LA and we're down 3-2, but now we're in trouble. And in goes Alex Balak instead of Anthony Niemi. Alex does a good game, strong game, but they still lose. Balak comes back with Niemi in game 7, and it was a bleep show. It was awful.
Yeah.
So I think you've got to go with Brunia at this point. Now, I would look at some of the game, you know, some of those goals, and I look at them, you try to look at them objectively. And yes, we have those personal issues with Carter Hurt that we talked about already. But overall, when I'm looking at the goals that are getting scored against them, I can't really look at, say, it's Carter Hart's fault that, you know, but the save percentage is the save percentage.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, Bussy said it the other day in his first start after we were talking to Kyle Bukakis, when you make the save, this is Daryl Sutter's favorite thing, when you make the save is just important of how many you make. And Carter has not made those saves.
Yeah. Three of those four goals last night, too, Drew, were just, they were highlight reel goals.
Yep.
Like,
yep,
the Aho goal, the stall tip again, like, he's just, he's on fire.
As Tortorella said, he's killing us in front of the net.
Yep. Did you see the company that he's in right now? With 5 goals in 5 games. Or 6 goals in 5 games. Yvon Cornelier, Jean Beliveau, Maurice Richard, and Cyclone Taylor from what, 1920? Was it the Vancouver Millionaires at the time or wherever they were? Those are the other guys he's with.
The only ones that have scored a goal in every game in the Stanley Cup final.
Yep, every game in the Stanley Cup final. Amazing, isn't it?
Wow.
Is he the Conn Smythe now favorite? Oh, yeah. Jordan Staal?
Yeah, absolutely. But I'll tell you what. 22 is not a bad hockey player. Logan Stankoven is one hell of a hockey player. I love watching him. Him going after Kolesar last night just made me laugh. I loved it.
He never lets up. He's always a machine.
Watching him in junior, he was unreal.
Crazy.
But to think back where we were last year at the deadline when they make that trade with Mikko Rantanen going to Dallas.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Logan Stankoven was that trade. He goes to Carolina.
Well, and think of the abuse the Hurricanes got over that, right?
Well, like, they did. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And now he's got 11 goals in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Who's laughing now?
And yeah. Not Mikko Rantanen, that's for sure. Nope. Drew Remenda, more coming up. Preview of Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final and all this other NHL noise going around, including one of his favorite people, Darnell Nurse, asking for a trade from the Oilers. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKO.
I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball. Don't stop me now. If you want to have a good time, just give me a call.
Jamie Locker and our NHL analyst Drew Remenda here on the Green Zone as Game 6 will go Sunday. And is John Tortorella allowed to leave his clothes in the hotel room? Like, will they hold that room for him for all those days,
No.
Drew?
No, they won't. He would have to give it to the bellman, and the bellman would then hold on to it. That's pretty cocky of him, but I like it. Mind you, you know what? He's done it at the end of June anyway, right? That's where the contract ends, so he just... Carolina's lovely this time of year.
He might not want that.
He just has to wear. Yeah, he just has to leave one suit there. Or really?
Exactly, yeah, he wears the black one with the blue tie, which doesn't matter. I think I talked to him. And then the white shirt. Yeah.
So John Tortorella's suit's bothering you, Drew?
Yes. He only wears one. He hates wearing suits. You see him after, like, he never wears suits. You saw him in Columbus. He wore a suit with the sweater. And then when he went to Philadelphia, everybody was wearing what the NBA coaches wear.
Yeah.
And he was kind of
the first one to do that, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He was, yeah. He's not a big suit guy.
I like that about him. Just looking at Sunday's matchup, they're going to be without William Karlsson. They're going to have to do some juggling. So he's the second line center. I'm curious if, like, does he just put Marner in that spot and then sort of move Howden and hurdle around? Like, how would you handle it? Or do you bring somebody up?
No, you go with, but you're going to have to bring somebody in just to put in the lineup. But I think you have to. I think you got to play your top guy overplayed him. I think you got to double stiff Eichel. I think you got to double stiff Marner. I think you've got to make sure that you've got your pitching down the middle. Carlson's a big part of that team.
Yeah.
He's a power play guy. He's a penalty kill guy. He gets hurt and they score in the power play. You know, big surprise. That when you look at the way that Carlson plays, he adds a lot to that team. And as John Tortorella said last night, he's a winner. And that's a big loss. So I think you'll just lean heavy on your other guys.
Yeah, I think it also throws the mix off too, right? Because I think I like that with him on that second center position, it just makes way more sense for Marner and where he falls. I think, I think they're in trouble.
So Drew, one of the big stories of this week, of course, the Oilers are just making all the noise. Now it's Darnell Nurse requesting a trade, or being hinted to request a trade, so he has requested a trade. What do you think of one of the most talked about, debated, some in Edmonton downright despise Darnell Nurse, not the person, but the defenseman, on where his future is in the National Hockey League?
Well, you weren't lying when you said one of my favorite players. He's one of my favorite people ever I've come across in the National Hockey League. I love Darnell. But he is one of those guys who's been victim of his contract. He was making $4.5 to $5 million. Nobody was saying anything.
Yeah.
And actually, when you look at his contract money-wise, it was very heavily front-loaded. And now, when he gets his bonus in the summer, so from then until 2030, when the contract runs out, it's only going to be a total of $23.5 million. So the cap money that you're going to put out when you go through a new team is not that significant, but the cap hit still, of course, is. And that's where it upsets teams. Now, Darnell's been in the playoffs now 7 years in a row. He is, when he's playing his best, he's blocking shots, he's physical, he's skating, he's moving the puck out of the zone. He's a big part of that team as far as the leadership core goes. He and Leon and Connor go way back from the beginning when this team started really turning things around. But he's, again, like I said, $9.5 million. And it reminds me of Andre Sekera. And Sek was fantastic. I liked him in Edmonton. Had a bad first year after he signed a big contract at that time, $6 million. The next year, he started playing really well. So I asked him, I said, Reg, what happened? And he went, I stopped trying to play to my contract. And that was it. Like, you guys, it gets in their head, you try to play to that number, and you don't have to. Just go play your game. Now, apparently, he has submitted a list, but he's got a full no move. That's very different. So he's got a full no move. He submitted a list, but they're keeping it private, but four or five teams, from my understanding. One of the teams that's already heavily involved in talking about it is the Philadelphia Flyers. Mm. Although they're loaded on the left side of the D, when you look at the guys there, he definitely could fit in somewhere on that defensive core, especially the way he plays and how many shots he blocks and the type of defensive play he can bring if somebody can just get him focused on just playing defense. You don't have to be in. Evan Bouchard's going to do his stuff. Just go play defense. And trust me, coaches have tried, but when the pressure is on, Darnell tries to do. It's a silly saying, but he tries to do too much.
Yeah.
He faces his mistakes.
Well, Drew, we'll leave it there. Enjoy a 2-day break until game six.
Nope. AHL finals are on tonight.
The Calder Toronto Cup. The Marlies.
Toronto and Chicago. Yeah, that's why it's on, because the Marlies are on. But it's going to be on. So hockey, baby.
Well, I can't wait for the Marlies to win, and Toronto Maple Leaf fans get all excited about winning a Calder Cup.
Do they have a trade?
They got a goalie that's apparently just, like, standing on his head.
Another organization won a Calder Trophy recently, and guess what? Yeah, that meant for us.
Yeah, didn't help out the next year, did it?
Diddly squat for the Vancouver Canucks farm team.
You're going to be okay.
Am I?
I think that team is going to make some noise. I think your Canucks are going to make some noise next year.
Drew.
Well, they made noise last year, but not in the right way.
Have a great weekend.
Hey, buddy, you too.
Take care, Drew.
was the anthem singer today, by the way. Alanis Morissette.
She did a fine job.
She did do a fine job for the World Cup match for Canada against Bosnia and Herzegovina today. 1-1 draw. The first time ever Canada gets a point.
She just celebrated her birthday. I was actually surprised. She looks pretty good for 52.
Alanis Morissette is 52.
That's what I had the similar reaction when I saw that. Like, it was like a week or so ago that she celebrated.
I guess, because when she was, like, didn't she was nominated for a Grammy when she was 18, and that was in the 90s,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, that Jagged Little Pill came out in 94, 95, something like that. And that it was like an international success, like, exploded for her. And at the time, she was quite young.
And then she went a little more rock on that one. Jamie Locker with you here on, like, she had that original start, which was more poppy stuff.
Before Jagged Little Pill, mm-hmm. she was a little pop thing. Yeah.
And then they redid it on How I Met Your Mother with Robin Sparkles, was kind of the Alanis Morissette storyline with it. Anyways.
Okay, we're in the weeds.
Into the weeds. Let's go to the center of attention for Canadian soccer fans right now. That is Toronto, and that's where we find Lee Cormish, a Saskatchewan super fan, of course, trying to stop in at 16 stadiums for this World Cup. And number two, Mexico 1, Toronto 2. Lee, what was it like? I saw you on the television after that first chance, by the way. That was a miss by Jonathan David. And then Kyle Larin equalizes the game. Lee, how was the match in Toronto?
Yeah, you know what? That miss by Jonathan David. I just put your laces through the ball and hammer that thing home. You know what I'm saying? So, Kyle Larin, he comes up with the big goal when we needed it. I am so relieved that we got the draw, because you know what? It was looking like a 1-0 defeat. And if we started with a 1-0 defeat in Toronto, it would have been disaster going forward. So the draw now salvages, and now we go forward, and now we can make something happen.
Canada's third appearance in the World Cup. This is the first time football has ever been on Canadian soil. So today is a big day in Toronto. You got to witness it. Can you sort of set the stage for us? We've seen some videos. We're watching here in Saskatchewan, Lee, but we would love to get your sort of, it sounds like you're sort of in the middle of it right now, too.
Yeah, I am. I'm just in the aftermath of everything. And I'll tell you, I've experienced something I've never experienced before. There was thousands and thousands of red jerseys and Maple Leaf flags. And you pulled every supporter of Canadian sport to BMO Field, to Toronto Stadium tonight. And it was so interesting because I've seen so many people that I've never seen before. But it was Canada. It was Canada that brought it into the stadium, and we outplayed Bosnia to the nines, but unfortunately, I don't know how they scored that goal. Maybe Max could have been a little better on that one, but we got the draw, which is, you know, we salvaged.
Yeah, Lee, there was a huge goal, a huge moment for the Canadian side. You saw that march towards the stadium, and as you mentioned, you talked about it. You've been following this team for a long time, the Voyageur all over the world. But what's it like to have it at home, Lee?
It's different. I have to travel to experience what I experienced today. So to have it at home, I mean, the emotions hit me. And that march to the match, that is recognized globally. What we saw in that march was, it gives me chills. And then to bring it all into the stadium and do what we did today, we got the 1-1 draw, but my goodness, I'm actually in a little bit of a weird headspace where I don't feel like I'm in Canada right now, but I am.
That's very cool. So what are your plans for the World Cup? Because is it true we're hearing that you're going to try to hit every stadium that the World Cup is going to be in North America?
Guys, I messaged Guinness World Records to try to complete some type of record. They're poor in communication, so it's my personal mission for 16 stadiums that are going to hold matches. So I'm going to visit all 16 cities. That's my mission. It's a personal best, that's all. But tomorrow I head to Boston and then so forth from there. So to be in Toronto for a home match, still it doesn't sink in yet.
So you do Boston, of course, New York, Los Angeles. You're going to be all over the place with this World Cup, and being a. What are you looking for? Like, what are some of the countries and players you're going to see on this jersey? A journey that you're excited to see, and how do you think this World Cup is going to go overall?
Well, first of all, FIFA did us no justice by opening up this resale platform of tickets, because there's a lot of good people in Canada that should be attending these matches. And we've only got Vancouver, we've got Toronto, and that's it. Regina should be hosting, Edmonton, Winnipeg. But besides that, I'm looking at the overall thing of things. And, you know, Canada on the world stage, we played today. We took it to Bosnia for 90 minutes. My gosh, they scored a lucky goal. We tied it in the end. I guess we'll take it.
But do you have a favorite, Lee, on who's actually going to win the World Cup or how deep Canada can actually go here? How about the round of 16?
Well, you know what? We're going to go to the round of 32, and then that's a big match. I think we'll go to the round of 16, but we're going to have trouble scoring, and you saw that today. There was a little bit of trouble in that finishing aspect of things. If we go any less than the round of 16, it's a bust. If we go beyond the 16 to the final eight, that is a huge win for us.
Lee? I think he's still trying to.
Oh, he's there. He's there.
Lee, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I got a would-you-rather question for you. Would you rather have dinner with Ryan Reynolds, obviously, of Welcome to Wrexham fame, or Jason Sudeikis of Ted Lasso fame?
I'd go with Ryan Reynolds.
Okay.
I've watched Ted Lasso's, and yeah, it's funny, it's good stuff, but you know what? Ryan Reynolds, he's a stud.
Well, Ryan Reynolds
was
in the building.
Game, yeah.
He was in the building.
He was there.
He was there. People were running up, getting selfies with him during the match as Lee Cormish trying to stop in at 16 stadiums through this World Cup. What were the opening ceremonies like yesterday? You were in Mexico to witness that, Lee.
Oh, my goodness. When you look at 16 stadiums, number one on my list was Azteca in Mexico City. And the best way to get there was the first game, Mexico, South Africa. Jamie, I'm telling you, there was 81,000 Mexicans in their seat for the opening ceremonies. There was 81,000 Mexicans screaming when they scored the first goal and the second goal. I'm telling you, Mexico does it better than anywhere else on the planet, it feels. And Azteca is the most iconic stadium on the planet when it comes to World Cup.
And then three red cards yesterday, Lee.
That's crazy.
I wasn't expecting that in the first match of the World Cup.
Yeah, no, I wasn't either. I don't know why that last player in Mexico did that challenge the way he did, because the game was in the bag, 2-0. We haven't seen a red card since, oh my goodness. It's been a lot of years since we saw a red card in the opening match. I think it was 94 when Marco Echeverry with Bolivia put his cleats up against a German player. So three red cards in the opening match. Yeah, the poor guy from Mexico is going to miss the next match. South Africa wasn't very good, but, you know, I'm not sure about that group. Korea beat Czech Republic. You know, if we don't win our group, we go to L.A. and we finish second from Mexico's group. So, man, we could be in for a Canada-Mexico tilt in L.A., and that would be crazy.
So, Lee, how many years have you been following the World Cup? Like going physically to the World Cup?
Well, 2006, it was a reality to travel to the World Cup. I've been following since 1998.
Yeah.
I watched the final in 1994, which got me addicted to the whole event of the World Cup. And I still have VHS tapes from 98 and 2002, and I watched the old matches. But 2006 was the first time I was able to go to England, Paraguay, in Frankfurt, and I watched David Beckham sail a free kick into the box. It ended up being an own goal. but England won 1-0, and I've been to 105 matches since. Tonight was 106. So,
dude, very cool.
Guys, I love it.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. I know you can get back to the celebrations and the revelry before your next flight to Boston. Lee, thank you so much, as always.
Stay safe, my friend.
Of course. Thank you.
That is Lee Cormish, Saskatchewan superfan, and just wrote a great piece on Post Media Saskatoon Star Phoenix about that FIFA decision on tickets and everything, trying to make as much money as possible for FIFA while leaving the fans on the sideline.
That sounds a little off. Are you sure?
Sarcasm again, yep. Ladies and gentlemen. That was sarcasm from Locker. We should have a sarcasm radar here on the Green Zone.
Or like a siren.
The sarcasm siren. We'll work on that.
All right.
Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Coming up, Dave Naylor. We'll go from footy to the Canadian Football League. Dave says, get ready for it, ladies and gentlemen. This Quebec City expansion stuff, it ain't just whispers. It sounds like more legit? And more will be coming when it comes to a 10th franchise.
2027?
I don't know, but I hate talking about a 10th franchise because we've been doing it for 40 years in the CFL and it's never happening. Or it's never happened, but maybe it will happen now. Dave Naylor coming up at 4:05 on that, the Rough Riders, the BC Lions. And is Bo better than when he was in Calgary? Now in Hamilton? He's looking pretty darn good again. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you in the Green Zone, doing a little bit of a Friday face-off today. We both have the same score for the Rider game tomorrow, 31-21.
I thought you were messing with me.
Locker's got the Riders, and I got the BC Lions. What are your predictions? First couple of callers up said the Riders. But
we did have one caller. Was it Wayne?
Wayne said BC.
He's got BC just trouncing.
So does Carla. Carla has a 38-12 win for Nathan.
What is that?
It just says Nathan, so I assume that's Nathan Rourke. 40-32 for the BC Lions says Kirk. 1-877-332-8255.
So there's a handful of people siding with you.
Yeah.
I think it's just a little bit of recency bias and all the conversation around Nathan Rourke. I don't know. I like my consistent, boring
40-year-old quarterback.
40-year-old.
Three-step drop, get the ball out in less than 2 seconds. Boom, right over to Sam Emelis and Guillen Schaefer-Baker and hands off to A.J. Ouellette, and they ground and pound.
Nice O-line.
Mm-hmm.
He's got time back there. Get those boys moving. Question mark will be defense and how much Nathan Rourke and his targets pick apart that young defensive squad.
All plays out 5:00 tomorrow. The Green Zone pregame show begins at 3:00. Tailgating begins at noon.
Are you serious
noon.
About going down and checking out the tailgating?
I'd love to. I don't know how much time I'm going to have, though. It depends how much prep I can get done before I go to bed tonight.
I'm going to.
Kids got some sports tomorrow to get to before the pregame show, too.
I'm going
to
go check out the tailgating. I'm going to see what kind of
recipes there are.
Well, you know what?
Are you just going to go to Mooch? Is that what your real reason is for the tailgating?
Listen, I have a job to do.
Yeah, he's going into the Mooch, ladies and gentlemen.